Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Happy birthday to you. By the time they hear this, it'll be on your birthday because that's the day it's released.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Do you know what we're doing today?
We're reading Matthew.
Which one?
The last one.
The final Matthew, chapter 28. That is correct.
Yeah, so that means that last time we read Matthew 27.
Chapter 27, yeah. That is correct.
And in that episode, we had Jesus die.
He did.
Yeah, and
it was freaky doodles.
Before he died, he had that famous, my God, why have you forsaken me line, you know?
Only the way he said it, they were like, he's calling on Elijah.
Right, yeah.
And we were like, what?
And there was a second Jesus. There was the Jesus
Build-A-Bear.
Barabbas. Whatever the fuck his name was. So.
Did you know in some translations, he's not always referred to as Jesus Barabbas. Sometimes he's just Barabbas.
Interesting. I did not know that.
So there were not always multiple Jesus I.
Yeah, and of course there were the zombies in wait, in waiting.
Yes.
They're sitting there waiting for Jesus to resurrect.
Were they zombies or whatever? Ghosts? I don't know. It seems like
with zombies. Like I don't give a fuck.
It seems like zombies
is way cooler. Fact that there are zombies in the Bible multiple times. This is not the first time we've come across Bible zombies.
Bible zombies.
There are a multitude of places where there are Bible zombies.
Listen. We had to sit through multiple versions of the Passion of the Christ, which is the whole how Jesus is killed, right? Multiple movies have been made about that.
Oh,
the most recent one starred Mel Gibson, who is an anti-Semite and therefore has no business being in a movie.
I've never seen
about
one
Jewish
of them,
people. So. I've never seen one of them either, but just knowing that they're out there and listening to Christians be like, oh, it's beautiful. You should listen to it and watch it. It's so beautiful.
Well, I just wanted to be fair. I hadn't sat through shit.
No, I haven't sat through shit either, but we had to sit through knowing they exist and living through people like be like, no, it's so beautiful. You should see it. Right. But this is what I want to see. I don't want to see the Passion of the Christ. I want to see the story of the Bible zombies.
They want to know what was the one before that? The last Passion.
I don't fucking know. But they do one every fucking Christmas.
I don't.
At the churches.
They do it at the churches.
With the pageants.
Okay. All right.
And so you always see, like, you'd be driving around, I don't know, on our town where we live, there's, like, fucking churches on every goddamn street corner.
Yeah.
And then plus sometimes in the middle of the block, there's, so sometimes you have, like, three in a row, you know, churches. Right. And they always have their signs up for their fucking come see our pageant.
But which I don't think there was a plethora of Passion movies, that's all.
I think that there are. There seem to be. It feels like there are.
Okay.
I'm going off feelings.
Yeah.
What? The right is to do it all the fucking time. I can do it if I want to.
I mean, you can also be wrong.
I could be wrong, but it feels like there's a lot of fucking Passion movies out there.
Anyway, before we get into our episode, I do want to, we have a thank you.
What?
Yeah, we've got a new patron, and I'm a little behind on the patron shoutouts because our episodes have been coming out slowly. So I want to thank Heather M.
Heather M.
Yeah. Heather became a member a week or two ago. I'm not sure exactly what the date was.
What?
Oh, wait, no. They've been a member since July, so it's been at least 3 weeks.
Holy moly.
So we're a little late to the game getting it out.
Thank you, Heather M.
So thank you so much for becoming a member. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh.
And we just couldn't do this without you guys. Like, this is it's always just amazing when we get new members and we're just humbled by it. Like, it's so cool.
I mean, the fact that people will not just listen to us, but then they, like, support us this way.
Yeah.
Or support us other ways by showing up on Tuesdays. Like, that's just
like
crazy.
We're doing right now.
Like we're doing right now.
On Discord.
Yeah. Every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Right. But that's thank amazing. You, Heather M., for your support.
Thank you, Heather M.
That being said, what are we getting into today?
We are, as you already said,
I did.
Little Maddie, chapter 28.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are hopping into Little Maddie, chapter 28, the final chapter of Matthew.
Okay.
And it's really short, so that's fun. That's fun for us.
What more do you have to add once Jesus? I really want to know about the zombie apocalypse that's happening.
That's what we're going to read about right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We're going to read about the zombies?
No. I thought you meant like the coming back.
I want a fucking zombie, chapter.
No, I do too. Like I already told you, that's the movie I want.
Yeah.
But no, this is just, how Jesus died.
Yeah, I know how he died. Well, I mean, obviously,
we read that. He died. Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, in the last chapter. Well, in this one, he comes back.
Shoot.
That's what we're going to read now.
That's crazy.
Man. Right?
Had no idea.
That's just like your opinion, man. All right, ready? After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, we were warned to try to keep track of the days that all this stuff breaks down.
Yeah.
Because when we get into the other Gospels, that they do things on a different timeline, and it depends on when the Sabbath falls. And
you and I kind of had a discussion about this because I've read things about this in the past and. Mm-hmm. Breaking this down, if we're trying to match this up, it's not going to work.
The ultimate timeline by combining them all into one kind of thing,
right? And that's one of the more interesting things about the contradictions within the Gospels, right? These are the testaments of these people supposedly, and they don't work,
right?
There's things very wrong,
right?
So,
okay, so after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb.
You know, the Mary?
The Mary-I.
Yeah.
The mariachi band? the maracuchi. Mariposa. That's butterfly in Spanish.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so all the Marys went to look at the tomb.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm an angel of the Lord. Okay, I just rolled me a rocket and I sat on it. Just
imagining this image in my head and it's like, what? What the fuck is happening?
I tried to follow this. Okay, anyway, so the angel guy sat on it. Okay?
Yeah.
His appearance was like lightning, like grease lightning.
Lightning. Just like, sure.
And his clothes were white as snow.
Does it say white as snow?
It does.
Really?
Yeah. His clothes were white as snow.
Interesting.
I think it's interesting that the angel had clothes, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, if I picture an angel at all, it's always in some, robe.
So, yeah.
And I guess it is white as snow. I don't know.
I suppose. Sure.
You know what? Sometimes I picture an angel in a robe that's more like brownish garb, like a monk's robe.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would picture it more.
I don't know. I picture white pretty much.
White.
As I've been taught through society with regard to what angels look like.
Through art that came out in the 1400s.
They are white and gleaming, glowy types,
They are glowy.
Yeah.
They always be glowing.
Right.
The guards were so afraid of him, because he's sitting there on a rock.
Well, yeah. I mean, a fucking angel comes down on the thing of lightning or whatever and then sits on a rock that he just moved. Not normal.
So the guards were afraid of him, so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. They weren't dead men, but they were awfully like it.
They were like possums. They play dead.
But they were not zombies. They just merely played the part of zombies.
Yeah, the zombies come later, apparently.
I'm not a zombie. I just play one on TV. The angel said to the women, the Marys, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified.
Mm.
He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.
where he did lay, not where he is laying.
The past tense.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee.
There you will
see him.
Hold on, though. Just because he's not there doesn't mean he's risen. That doesn't mean
the angel said so.
But okay. All right.
He's got his glowy white dress on, and he said it. Therefore, it is a fact.
Okay.
Listen. If an angel came in to your living room, and he rolled up a rock, and he sat down in your living room, and he said, husband, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you some things.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, oh, okay?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be, it's just that if somebody were to tell me that story, I wouldn't believe them.
Right.
I don't believe this one.
But let me ask you this. Let's say that all of a sudden angels start being on every fucking street corner.
Yeah.
People start being possessed by demons and having exorcisms.
What allows me to know that they are angels and that people
are possessed? They're white. They glow and they're white.
Okay.
Angels can only be white. Didn't you know all the white people will tell you so?
Radioactive MAGA people. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Got it. They're glowing.
Sure.
And so let's say that, like, you're walking around and all of a sudden you realize, man, this world has really changed a lot in the last 10 years. There are fucking angels on every street corner now. One like this when I was growing up.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And no, then you're
definitely
like,
wasn't.
And exorcisms, like, I've seen a few. Man, wow.
Right. Sure.
Okay, demons are real. Possession is real. Wow.
Right.
Ghosts, real.
Right.
Magic, real. Holy moly. That Chris Angel, he was really into some, you know, deep stuff. I saw it firsthand.
Yeah.
Statue of Liberty fucking disappeared.
I feel like I'd still have questions if I didn't, you know.
I said David Angel, but I meant Chris Angel.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever. You know all them magician guys?
Yeah, yeah.
They all have interchangeable names.
Right.
Because they're all fake.
Yeah.
In my mind.
It's just that, like, those people, right? They can do things that are pretty amazing, right? It doesn't mean it's real.
No.
It just means it's sleight of hand. So, like, I don't know.
But let's say that you're walking around and you just be seeing magic and angels firsthand. People raising from the dead. The blind can see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Firsthand, you're seeing all this shit. And now an angel is in your living room telling you some shit.
Yeah, it's just... Okay.
Okay, now let's say the angel's not in your living room telling you some shit, but your friend came and told you, hey, you know how there's angels everywhere? And you're like, sure, yeah. I see them all the time. Well, one of them told me, blah, blah, blah. Would you believe him then? You've been seeing angels. What would be surprising?
I don't know. I'm having trouble putting myself in this scenario.
But I'm trying to, like, put you in this world where they think... angels are all over the place, and they see them all the time.
They think angels are all over the place. They don't actually have written historical accounts of
angels.
I'm
so sorry, but this Bible here
is not a historical account.
It does say, though, that there were angels everywhere and people doing exorcists.
It's still not a historical account.
I said exorcist, but I meant exorcisms.
Right.
Well, anyways, this angel guy, he's talking to the Marys.
Yeah.
And he says, anyway, Jesus ain't here. He's risen from the dead. And tell your friends he is going to go ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him.
Okay. All right.
Now I have told you.
He told us.
He told them.
Them.
Okay.
The Marii. Yeah.
The Mariposas.
Yeah.
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy.
Mm.
They ran to tell his disciples. Yay! He risen! Yay! Suddenly, Jesus met them!
Okay.
Whoa!
I guess they're already in Galilee.
Galilee. See, you did it. Okay, here's the thing, though. They know he's dead. They saw him die. They moved his body, right? The Marys have been here the whole time watching, and now suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they're like, holy shit, you're dead.
Those are the words it says, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
sure.
And then Christians are like, yeah, of course, that makes sense.
Right, but why? Why are they like, of course, that makes sense?
Because the Bible said so.
But what about it has made sense to this point? Why would this be the one? Why would this be something that we take seriously as opposed to like the rest of the shit that is really weird and questionable?
I don't know, but they seem to think it's very important that it actually happened.
Yeah.
Greetings, Jesus said. I find that a a weak, lame. Those are your first words to the Marys upon rising from the dead.
Yeah.
Greetings.
Right.
They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Oh, so this is before he goes to Galilee.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on their way.
All right.
So the,
well, the angel said that he'd meet them in Galilee.
He said to tell the boys.
Oh.
Tell Tucci gang. Look, do you...
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just continue. We're close enough to the...
I know, but you looked confused.
Well, because I thought
this this is what he said to the woman. Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Mm-hmm. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of y'all, you boys, Tucci gang, into Galilee.
Right, but I read that, like, as it was read, it felt like the y'all included, you know...
No, he's telling Mary to tell the boys. Tell the boys that I'm going to meet y'all up there. Or that Jesus is going to meet them up there. Okay? And they're...
Anyway, semantics. Okay. It's not a big deal.
Okay. So, anyways, and then Jesus is meeting the Marys on the way to Tucci Gang.
Right.
And he repeats it. Tell the boys I'll see him up there. Okay? Sure. All right. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. So I guess some of the guards... Oh, because there was a guard
out front. Yeah, they played dead, remember?
Yeah.
Right. Well,
there was also... They had put a guard to make sure the body didn't get stolen.
Those are the ones that played dead because the angel showed up.
Right. And in the previous chapter, the reason that they are there is to make sure the body wasn't stolen.
Right.
Right. So these guys were like, holy fuck. That angel, right? You saw that too, right?
And of course, this is corroborated in Roman notes, right?
I haven't done that much research, but I'm going to guess no.
Right, yeah. I'm going to guess no as well.
So they ran to the ran and told the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan.
How do you devise a plan against...
zombies.
Yeah.
Zombies, ghosts, angels...
Right.
Like, this is a force, and y'all are coming up with a, like, I'm not sure. They devised a plan. Like, what is your plan, and why do you have a plan? This happened. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, quote, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. So basically, hey, soldiers, throw yourself under the bus and say that you were negligent on the job and that you fell asleep and that his body was actually stolen out from under you.
I feel like that's the more likely scenario anyway.
Probably.
You know?
Probably. But they were paid to throw themselves under the bus.
Sure. Okay.
If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.
Mm.
So they're like, just... do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the soldiers are like, okay. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This ain't anti-Semitic. Look. I know that somebody in the comments is going to be like, this was still Jewish people arguing with other Jewish people about how to do Judaism.
Well, they're arguing against propaganda. This is both sides are doing propaganda, right? So, like, the Jewish people are like, nah, just the people that were friends of his stole him out from the temple, right? No big deal.
That's the story that they were told.
Right. That's what they were told. And and then the Christians are like, nah, man, he came back to life. But, like, there's a question about whether if he comes back to life, I feel like that would make, again, front page news, you know, like, even in those times, like, whatever front page news meant.
Whatever their Facebook of the day was.
Like, guys, this guy came back to life.
But would it have been big news? Would it have been big news if they thought people were being raised up from the dead all the fucking time? This is no big deal. Everybody be raised up from the dead in their minds.
But there's no historical accounts of this.
But that doesn't matter. They believed it. And therefore, people today still believe it.
People believe a lot of things that people tell them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean that they believe them for good reasons, though.
I'm not arguing.
Like, there's
that.
there's not actual events happening that confirm these ideas.
You don't think that I'm trying to argue these things happen.
I don't. I just, you know, I'm just thinking this through, and I'm like, this is not. There's no.
It's nonsense.
It's nonsense.
Yes, we are in agreement. Yeah. We are of an accord.
Right.
Then the 11 disciples, Tucci gang, it yeah. was 12, but let us not forget that right, the Judas, one dude Judas went off is, and hanged himself.
No longer there.
Yeah. So the 11 that were left went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Mm. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. What the fuck? Okay, listen.
The fucker died.
Listen,
what are you doubting at this point?
This is the end of the fucking book of Matthew, right? There's only like three sentences left. Okay?
There's only 11 of these fuckers left.
I know, but listen.
Okay.
Listen. This is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We are at the end of Matthew, and still some of the disciples are like, I don't believe
right.
This ain't true. This shit ain't true.
This is some bullshit.
Do you know what that says to me? Let me finish my thought here.
Yeah, okay.
What that says to me is that even at the end of the book of Matthew, the disciples, his Tucci gang, were in doubt that this was true. That lets every single one of us off the fucking hook.
Well, okay?
Because
you can doubt somebody who died and came back to life
right in front of your fucking eyes.
Then there's something wrong with the story inherently from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, this is not correct.
This is not.
Also, where the fuck are the zombies? We talked about zombies in the last chapter, and they just are ignoring them so far. And I can see, based on where you're at, that we're almost near the end. So
just said there's only like maybe three sentences left.
Where the fuck are the zombies?
I don't think we're getting them in this book.
I am really pissed off. Because I want some fucking Bible zombies, damn it.
I might have to come up with a Bible zombie story.
I feel like this is fanfic waiting to happen.
If I write some zombie fanfic,
Bible
zombie fanfic?
Yeah.
Could I read it here, or would that be like
absolutely.
A Patreon thing?
We'll do a special Patreon thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm for it.
We'll do a special Patreon.
Okay. When we finish all the Gospels, I will come up with some zombie fanfic.
Okay.
Zombie Bible fanfic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, some of them still doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Oh, red ink. So you know it was real. Okay.
Okay.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, you know, because I said so.
Yeah.
Believe me, because I'm telling you to.
Right.
Okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, the end.
This is the book of Matthew? This is how the book of Matthew ends?
That's the book of Matthew.
I'm really fucking angry.
And that's
why fucking story.
That's why we have missionaries that are like, we were instructed to go to all the nations and to beat them over the head with Christianity. It says so right there at the end of Matthew.
I don't know what I was expecting on the first book of the Bible.
It wasn't
this. But it wasn't this.
No.
I just, there's nothing like, there's no good arc here. There's no good follow through with anything that's actually happening. There's two fucking stories to begin with. Like, you get to 16, 17 in the book, and you're like, and all of a sudden the whole trajectory of everything changes.
Right.
And then it's all the whole way through it, the entire way through this book, it's nothing but stupid ass fucking irrelevant prophecy stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking dumb.
And like you said, it's about verse 16 chapter 16 or 17 when it changes. And that's when it really feels like, okay, but we're not dealing with people that are Jewish anymore. Like, they have done broke off.
Right. Yeah.
And they might still be calling themselves Jewish or what the fuck ever, but I ain't feeling it, bruh. I don't feel like they were very Jewish at all.
Because there's nothing like, satisfying about the Bible.
No.
There's like literally nothing satisfying about it. It's just one aggravating bullshit story after another. And I'm left the entire time wondering, how the fuck is this what is in charge? Like, how the fuck is this what defines 60% of our goddamn world or our country, not our world, because there's other religions and whatever. But 60% of our fucking country is like, yeah, that Christ dude, he's all right with me.
And let's make some laws based on it.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
It makes perfect sense.
Sure. But it's just it's
it makes no sense.
Bad literature. Like, this isn't even good literature. It's not even like close to good literature. It's not even like it doesn't make any. It just doesn't make fucking sense. I'm sorry. Quiet. I know I'm like
preaching going to the off choir here. And ranting and whatever, but I think it's well deserved. That okay, look, the Book of Matthew, I was expecting to be spiritual and pretty and like unbelievable, but spiritual and pretty.
Sure.
It was not spiritual, it was not pretty.
No.
And I was also expecting I don't know, I guess that was kind of all I was expecting, but this just failed to live up to any good thing for me.
Yeah. If there's one thing that I have learned through reading the Bible as a whole, and now the first book of the New Testament, which I would assume that if you're a good Christian, every Christian has read at least the first book of the fucking New Testament, right? Like I would just, would be a basic assumption that I would hold. Yeah. If you're planning on getting into heaven, you could at least read the first book
of your
rule book. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is that I'm pretty sure that most of them don't.
Right.
Because there's no way you could read this and not have a billion goddamn questions.
Right.
And more than that, I feel like it would leave you doubting.
I feel like, look, when I do all of my notes and my research and stuff, it always astounds me how far back I have to go. Because in the footnotes, right, it'll make reference to, okay, it has been written. Okay, where was it written, right? Yeah. And then I got to go find that, right? And then so when I read from the Old Testament where it was written, then I can't just read the one verse that was referenced. I have to actually read that whole chapter again to try to remind myself, okay, but what was actually happening at this time? Then I got to read the footnotes to that one.
Yeah.
The vocabulary and the history. And sometimes there's quotes from it. And then I have to go back and read all that. And I'm just doing this very cursory back trace.
Yeah.
Right? Till I get no more, I don't know, branches of the tree. Like I've done like all of the references.
Yeah.
That were made. I've traced them all the way back.
Right.
As far as I am willing to go on a like 3-day journey, rabbit hole, spelunking, and I'm not a Christian.
Right.
Why is it incumbent upon me to do this, but not Christians? I don't understand. And I don't want to paint with a wide brush and say that no Christian reads the Bible or no Christian reads far back and does all of the spelunking or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
What I mean to say is that, like, okay, I was listening to Seth Andrews' call-in show. I just listened to like a little 8-minute snippet on YouTube recently.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called in and was like, I don't have to read the Bible because I'm a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you have a personal relationship with God. And that means that you don't have to read all that gobbledygook. And like, Seth Andrews was like, what?
Like, well, then that's my exact feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and then he was like going on and on saying, just like, okay, so Seth Andrews was like, I would love to be a spot on the wall or a fly on the wall watching you explain at them pearly gates to St. Peter, trying to explain how you, a Christian, didn't have to read all that gobbledygook.
Right.
And I would love to watch how that conversation goes. And then he's like, you do know that, like, there were all these bad things that happened. And he starts reading, like, different verses in the Bible that you and I were disgusted at or horrified at, like, all of these different bad things.
Sure.
And the caller is like, you're just making that up. I don't believe that's even in the Bible. And I'm just like, why is it that we as atheists like, we're curious. We want to understand, how do y'all believe this? What the fuck is going on in your brain that makes this real? And so we, like, keep trying to find. We keep digging and digging and scratching and scratching because we want to understand, why are you believing this? What is this? And the more we dig, the more we find that it's stupider than we even thought it was. But you're not even curious or interested at all as a Christian to read it?
You're not even reading it.
You're not even reading it.
Like, I wish the surety that you have that we're going to hell matched the surety of what you know about your fucking Bibles.
Right? Like, I'm dumbfounded. But then what really dumbfounded me is when I was reading the comments and people in the comment section were like, there's no way somebody is this stupid. He must be a troll. He's just fucking with you. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is why the Democrats lost, because they don't fucking realize that actually, no, 60% of America is truly this backwards.
Not 60%.
Okay.
Not 60%.
You're right. But I was quoting your number of believers.
No,
but
that there are regardless, there are a lot of people, way too many people who they take their indoctrination to heart without ever exploring that indoctrination.
Zero curiosity.
They just accept that God is real, that Jesus died for their sins, and that there is a heaven and hell.
And then they can act however they want because they're fine.
As long as they wear a cross, show up to church on Sunday, and consider themselves to be a decent person, they'll be fine.
It doesn't matter if they actually are a decent person. They've decided that they are, much like Jesus says, just believe me because I said so.
Right. And they also get their pass at church to judge other people.
Mm-hmm.
So then they get to judge you and say you go to hell.
And then you've got, you know, atheists and agnostics and skeptics that are dumbfounded, but also like, no, they can't really be that dumb. And I'm just like, I really think everybody needs to take a beat and be a lot more curious. I think that the skeptics and the atheists and the agnostics, the Democrats, the left, the progressives that ain't progressive enough, all of them need to understand that this is what people are actually believing, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
We need to come to terms with that. We really do. We need to understand that some of us really are maybe in echo chambers and expand ourselves to understand that, no, there are a lot, way too many people that believe this shit. And then on the opposite, you know, talking to Christians, y'all need to be fucking curious, and y'all need to be reading this shit, and y'all need to be asking questions.
And that's all well and good, but, you know, the truth is that I don't really care whether they believe these things or not, as long as they can leave their religion at the doorstep and not bring it into the politics that affect all of us.
This book, though, tells them that they don't have to do that, and moreover, that they're required not to do that. That's why they do. I demand, sure, if you are going to put this fucking religion in politics and in classrooms around the country, you need to fucking read it first and be able to have an actual conversation about this.
Yeah.
And Democrats need to reckon with the fact that there are people that, a lot of fucking people that believe this shit.
Sure. So in ways that are harmful.
In very big, harmful ways.
Right.
And I guess because I have been online too much lately, I'm just like, I'm seeing us slide back into the centrism. Both sides are bad. And like, no, I'm reading this. It's not both sides. This is fucking bad. This is bad. It's not good. And okay, I'm rant done. Whew. Sorry. I couldn't make my words match what I'm seeing in my head.
Sure.
The pattern that I'm seeing in my head is that the left is not worried and scared enough.
Yeah.
And the right is big, bad, and dumb.
Yeah. Well, so that was the end of Matthew.
Fuck Matthew.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Or whoever Matthew was or whatever.
Fuck the book. Fuck the guy. Fuck the people that stapled his shit together. Fuck Mark. Haven't even read him yet, but that's where Matthew got all his notes.
Right. So that was the end of Matthew, and we will be coming back with, I'm not even sure. We're definitely going to have a Q&A.
I have a Q&A that I'm mostly, well, I'm about a third of the way done with for chapter 27.
Which we already, you don't need to cover that because it's already out.
I'm thinking out loud. But I might combine 28 with it since 28 is so short. Okay. If I'm going with that.
I got you.
So maybe not.
Oh.
Maybe 27.
This one coming. Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah. See?
Okay.
So we're going to have a Q&A over 27, maybe 27 and 28. And then we'll have a wrap up.
Okay.
I don't know. Do we want to do a contradictions
question? Why don't you look into it? Because I would like to. I would like, because I like having those standalone episodes that people can reference. Mm-hmm. So that would be a preference on my part. But I would say yes. I would say yes. We would want to do a contradictions.
Okay. And then we'll do a like Matthew wrap up slash maybe intro to.
Mark. Yeah.
Mark is next.
Sounds good.
Oh, Marcus.
All right. So that was Matthew chapter 28 and the end of Matthew, other than special episodes.
Sure as fuck was.
And that being said, we will see you next time.
Cunt. Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.